You forgot the first rule of remakes, Jill. Don't fuck with the original.
Hey everyone! The Smurfs 2 is in theaters, and you know what that means?
Something terrible happened for that movie to have a sequel?
Actually, we'll get to that because I know exactly what happened for this thing to have a sequel. But it also means another episode of Don't F With The Original.
With Nicholas, I'm the video game correspondent for Idiomatic.
And I am Dimitri, editor-in-chief of Idiomatic and also movie critic. So as I've mentioned, The Smurfs 2 is coming out. And we've decided to review the original Smurf movie.
Yeah.
Which is not The Smurfs Part Uno.
No.
No. That's actually a 1976 animated movie from France called, in French, La Flûte à Six Schtroumpfs.
Yes. Literally translated to the Six Smurf Flute.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I think is such an adorable title, but in English they actually went with The Smurfs and the Magic Flute.
Yeah.
Putting in the money word right at the front. I see the logic in that as well.
Yeah, I can see that. The story starts actually with our two heroes, which are not the Smurfs. They're Jonah, who's a knight, and Pee-wee, who is a court singer, who cannot sing well at all. He's a terrible singer. So they're trying to prevent him from singing by like hiding his instruments. But eventually he finds a flute, you know, from a merchant. There's a mistake that happens, and he gets a flute from a merchant that forces people to dance every time he plays it. Somebody steals that flute, and he uses that flute to steal some money and to do evil things. So they need to get help, and they figure out who made the flute first, the Smurf. So they go and get help from the Smurf to try and, you know, fight the evil guy and his magic flute.
Yeah, and for those of you wondering how Torchisac, which is the bad guy, manages to use the flute to steal things, is because when you hear the flute and you dance uncontrollably, I mean, you can't use your body to do anything.
Yeah.
So that allows them to do whatever in the meantime, and eventually you pass out because you're exhausted of all the dancing on top of it.
Yeah.
Sort of what I presume happens at the end of every episode of So You Think You Can Dance.
Yes.
The cartoon was actually a huge hit, not just in France, but also in the United States when it got distributed as The Smurfs and the Magic Flute.
Okay.
Very, very popular movie, which surprised me when I did the research because really nobody talks about it anymore. Whenever people think of The Smurf, they think of the Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah.
And not that cartoon. But I have to say, I actually quite like that cartoon. I think it's really, really cute.
It has its moments, but I think it has not aged well.
Hmm.
I think back then it might have had a lot of success based on, you know, very nice animation for the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, very cute, non-violent, perfect for kids cartoon. But I really don't think it holds up today. It has all those things of, you know, reused backgrounds and repeated motion that it gets very, very boring to look at.
Yeah, there's a couple of musical numbers, and there's one in particular where it's like it's always the same Smurfs dancing the exact same way.
Yeah.
Every time they get to the chorus.
Yeah, so very, you know, it saves on money, but it's not like a feast for your eyes, basically. But I can see why it was a success back then. It was really not really... For now, I was expecting, again, I'm used to those modern cartoons, so I was a little disappointed. But I can see... there were a lot of nice, cute things about it. First of all, the Smurfs, you know, you get introduced to them, because I think it's Pee-wee that asks, you know, you all look the same, you know, how do you tell each other apart? Which, is that a racist question? So, yeah, and then they start, you know, with a song and they explain all the Smurfs. Oh, that was pretty cute, you know, and it was quite different because they had to introduce different Smurfs, so no reused backgrounds there. Also, where he's still learning to speak Smurf.
I love that one. Like, yeah. That one where, because he's, decides, like, I figured out the Smurf language. All you do is replace whatever word is important in the sense of the word Smurfs. That's easy as pie.
Yeah.
Or as easy as Smurf, I guess. And
yeah.
And he decides to ask for a glass of water. And apparently there are some inflections in the word Smurf that we humans don't quite grasp. So they bring him everything and the kitchen sink, like everything except the glass of water. It's,
yeah.
It's hilarious.
And the best part is to see his friend who's just laughing and literally rolling on the ground laughing because, you know, he understands what's happening. And you see him getting angry. No, I just want a Smurf. And he's like, oh, here's a Smurf. That's not a Smurf.
And the best part is the grumpy Smurf punctuating every verse with like, I don't like people who like Smurfs. And by this, he means everything but a glass of water. And yeah. I don't like people who like Smurfs or Smurfs. And I don't like people who like Smurfs or Smurfs with a dash of Smurfs. And then at the end, it's like, I don't like people who can't make up their minds.
Yeah, yes. I don't know why. I guess I know why. But that Smurf is my favorite one. The grumpy Smurf. It's probably one of the same reason why, in the Muppet Show, I like those two old curmudgeon guys that keep bitching on the show. But it's like, that Smurf is hilarious. It's like, every time, it's like, super negative out of nowhere. They're like, they just pant to him, and it's like, negative comment. And then they go back to the regular show. It's like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, and it's exactly those sort of set pieces that, for me, are so charming. And I watched this movie when I was a kid and loved it and tried forever to find it on DVD. It finally is on DVD for people who are wondering. And I was delighted, and I watched it, and I still like it, partly because I think I'm watching it with a child's eye, because I remember how it was when I first saw it.
Yeah.
But I like that humor. I like the idea of using the Smurfs as a mass, but not as the main characters. They bring in the humor, but the story is not driven by them. And yeah. I think they work better that way, because then they become something of a satirical image of how human beings are and how very naive, in this case, human beings can be.
Yeah.
And while Johan and Pee-wee sort of drive the actual plot and the story.
Yeah. It's Sir John.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. It's because in French it's Jean Pee-wee. So I had assumed it was Johan, but it's Sir John.
It's
okay.
Sir John, yeah.
You actually reminded me of another point I have to say. If you can find the subtitled version of the Smurfs and the Magic Flute,
yeah,
it's worth it, guys, because I've heard the English dubbing and I am not impressed, and I think a lot of the charm gets lost. The Smurfs sound a little bit too sophisticated. In the French version, they really do sound like magical children, if you will, which makes the joke work a lot better.
Okay.
The songs, the lyrics are funnier, but that if you don't speak English, then you might miss on that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But maybe the subtitles, the lyrics will be the lyrics as literally what they say in French, as opposed to what they had to sort of negotiate to make it rhyme and make it an actual song in English.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And the voices of the humans is less dignified also, which works better as well, since they're adventurers. Like, he's Sir John, sure, whatever, but they're voices of adventurers, not noblemen, which I find the English version, they sound a little bit too noble to me.
Okay. But, I understand what you're saying, because the parts with the Smurfs are the best part. When the Smurfs are not in the picture anymore, especially the beginning and the end, you're like, well, this is kind of boring now. It's just a very poor knight story, knight medieval-ish story.
Right.
Without any action. So, yeah, the Smurfs are really the highlight of that movie.
Mm.
Which, yeah, like I said, is very weird because it doesn't start with the Smurf, it doesn't end with the Smurfs at all.
Well, there's like four or five Smurfs at the end in the final fight, but yes. Not the whole bunch.
Exactly.
And I like also, like, the new Smurfs movie don't do that, but, like, there's a considerable amount of the movie that's with the entire Smurf community, and they manage to get across what life as a Smurf is like and get across many of the personalities without it being like, all right, let's round up all the Smurfs and let's, like, you're that Smurf and you're that Smurf and you're that Smurf. They get it across. Well, actually, come to think of it, they do have a song where they do that. You're that Smurf and that Smurf.
Yeah, but
that's
our introduction to them.
Yeah.
And that's it. They don't, they don't reuse the gag of, now you're that Smurf and we have this Smurf now. And this is the dancing Smurf. And they don't keep on adding different kinds of Smurf throughout the whole thing. Once that song is done, it's over. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we just, we have our main Smurfs. We just go with them.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't do personality jokes. They don't do like, that Smurf has that personality, so we're going to make all the jokes about that personality trait. The joke is more about them being Smurfs and them being alien beings who don't quite function like human beings.
Yeah.
I like when they explain, like, how do you tell each other apart, like, if you all call each other Smurfs? And like, the implication of it is not that they call the guy, like, Brainy Smurf or whatever. They call him Brainy Smurf because they have no names, and it's just easier to attribute a certain quality to him, so that was, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and I like that joke a lot because it's sort of like how this society works differently without human rules. And it's sort of a fascinating thing for a kid where they actually do establish rules that are different from human being rules and just sort of go with it instead of like the new Smurf movie, the first one, where they have that same joke. Was like, well, how do you tell each other apart? It was like, well, he's called this Smurf and he's called Brainy Smurf. It's like, no, he's not called Brainy Smurf. He's just like, he's the Smurf next door who happens to be Brainy.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see the difference.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I like the movie. I think I disagree with you about the animation. I think it still holds up pretty well. I like classic 2D animation.
Okay. Yeah, no, the 2... Yeah, I'm not bitching on it because it's 3D. But I think even for 2D, the colors were not as bright as what we're used to. It's a little faded. It's a little, you know...
It is a little faded, yeah.
It doesn't really pop at you when you're looking at like modern cartoons do.
Yeah, I think the faded thing is something I actually like about it, to be honest.
Okay.
It gives it a little bit more of a restraint feel. It's not trying to blow your mind with the awesomeness of the Smurfs. It's just presenting a universe where Smurfs exist. So it's not popping out with colors like crazy.
Okay.
Which, admittedly, kids love colors, so that might be a negative for the film to that degree. Because, like, make no mistake, it is a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Like, as an adult, you will not be challenged by this movie.
No, you won't. There's no jokes that only you understand. No, they're all kids' jokes, you know.
You will find it cute on that level. And there's some set pieces like the one with a glass of water, which are hilarious even as an adult. But yeah, that's pretty much where it ends.
Yeah.
I like Pirluit. I have to say he's funny. He drives much of the story. And I like, again, when you have a character that's sort of presented as the F-up of the bunch.
Yeah.
But in reality, isn't quite that much of an F-up. We've had that conversation with the Monsters, Inc. movie this summer.
Yeah.
And I had the same feeling there.
I know. He only presented as, you know, he doesn't know how to sing well.
Mm.
And that's pretty much why they're all kind of trying to prevent him from, you know, singing. Which I don't understand why they don't want him to get the flute at the beginning. Because when you play the flute, you don't sing. I guess you would, you know, you would force him to play the flute if he doesn't sing well. But anyway, yeah, he's like, he's just not good at his job, but he's not like, you know, oh, he's the clumsiest man in the kingdom. We cannot let him do anything. No, he's just like, okay, he's a bad singer and that's it. And
then he's prone to dishonesty.
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, you see that by his action. They're not like, oh, he's the most dishonest person in the kingdom. You can kind of see it like, you know, when he gets the flute and he realizes that, you know, it makes people dance. He kind of, and people say, no, you need to give us the flute. He kind of, no, I'm keeping the flute. And he kind of tries to tie it. It's just like, it's a normal reflex. You find a magic flute, you want to keep it.
True. And I like the way that they kept out all the information that's not needed for the story. Because for those of you who don't know, the Smurfs actually first appeared in the Sir John and Pee-wee comic books, not the Smurf comic books. Smurfs is a spin-off of that comic book.
Okay.
So it took some time before the Smurfs were even created.
Wow.
By Peyo. And so they've had a pretty established cast of characters and personalities in the movie, which slows down the beginning, actually, because they go introduce a lot of them that don't actually play a part in the story when they're in the castle. You know, when Pee-wee grabs his flute and starts making everyone dance, you're actually being introduced to a large number of the regular cast that don't do anything for the rest of the movie because they're not part of the story.
Yeah, oh, that's weird.
It's a little bit of fan service, you know?
Okay, yeah, I didn't get that fan service, I guess, then. Not a fan of the comic book.
But they don't go overboard with it. Like, you don't feel like you're missing out on information. You just go like, oh, people dancing.
Yeah.
You know, and Pee-wee as well, you just go like, oh, he's a guy who doesn't sing very well. When in fact, you know, in the comic book story, he's mischievous because he's actually not a human being. He's a demon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's not a human being. He's a little demon. He's a nice little demon. And that's why Sir John keeps him around and likes him a lot. And the comic book is very much about their friendship. But that's why he's always prone to doing the wrong thing, because that's his natural instinct.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was weird. Like, at the beginning when he's playing the flute because he realizes it makes people dance. I guess the dancing kind of looks more like epileptic seizures. But, Yeah, no, the dancing is not very good. But, you know, and then at one point he reaches an old guy and he plays the flute and it doesn't work. And he's like, old guy with a cane is like, I'm sorry, I can't hear very well. So you think, oh, he's going to leave the poor old guy. No, he just, you know, plays the flute louder so that the old guy can hear it. And he starts dancing. It's like, oh, that's cold.
That's horrible. He's a horrible, horrible little guy.
Yeah.
And the final fight was cool. Like, I like, just in terms of the composition, like the music of the flute. Essentially, the duel involves the good guys acquiring a flute of their own and the bad guys still having the flute and then doing a flute duel.
Yeah.
And what's kind of cool is that they're each playing their own melody and it merges into one sort of symphony that makes up the final battle. And the music's really good. Like, I like the originality of it. And I checked. The music is actually played on flutes using only 6 holes. They do not use the 7th hole that you usually would.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed because at the beginning of the movie, there was jousting. So I'm thinking, okay, there's going to be some knight stuff. At least maybe one or two, you know, he's going to take out a sword or something or nothing. But no, it's only a flute duel. So, yeah. You know, after the flutes are gone, maybe, you know, take out your sword to arrest the guy or something. But not even that. It was like, okay.
You know. Who among us is a fan of World of Warcraft? I wonder.
You are. Yeah.
Actually, no, I like that there was no sword. Like, they established Sir John as, like, the mighty knight, like, that cool guy. And it's like, final battle, he doesn't do jack shit. Yeah. It's all Pee-wee.
Yeah. He's basically dancing because, I guess he doesn't think of, you know, putting earplugs or something, which they actually do mention at the beginning of the movie because the guards are going to arrest Pee-wee because he's making everybody dance and that's a pain, so they want to arrest him. So he tells the king and Sir John, you know, plug your ears, and they do, and he makes the guards dance only. So I don't know why they did, you know.
Well, they encountered them by mistake. Like, they were looking for them, and then they turned around and was like, oh shit, they're there, and then both the Pee-wee and the bad guy get their flutes out, so I don't think he had time to do anything.
You just put your fingers in your ears. That takes like half a second. But hey, a kid's movie, I guess. But even the kids are probably going to like, come on, he's going to make you dance, guys. Plug your ears or something.
I know. I think most kids would be like me, where it's like, ah, the tough good guy's doing nothing. Like, he's totally useless. Did not see that coming. Funny.
Good point. There is one thing I didn't like about the movie.
Okay.
It's a running joke, and it's a running joke in the Smurfs as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's it shows, you know, signs of the time that that kind of joke is perfectly acceptable, that there's Brainy Smurf, and to shut him up, basically, they just punch him or hit him on the head with various stuff.
Yeah, usually a mallet.
Yeah, a mallet, you know. Basically saying, you know, that little, you know, kid with glasses in your classroom that, you know, is smart and, you know, keeps talking to the teacher, you should punch him to shut him up. Especially in the movie where, you know, like you said, the final conflict is not even about violence. They're basically playing flute to finish it off. So there's no violence whatsoever. It's still perfectly acceptable to hit the brainy kid. It's like, nah, I didn't like. And if it was only a one-time thing, but they do it 3 times in the movie, it's like, come on. In the series, it's like every episode. But I guess, you know, back then in the 70s, it was cool to beat nerds. So I don't know.
the sad truth is that it still is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, don't misquote me. I'm not saying that that's what you should do. But part of the problem is that it's viewed as a cool thing to do. That's why these kids have such a hard time.
Yeah, and it's even acceptable, you know, as a nerd to be beaten up. Most of the time they get beaten up and they don't even go see the teacher or something or other because, yeah, it's the natural order of thing. I got beaten up because I'm a nerd. Okay.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow, you know.
Yeah, you're right. And maybe things like that we saw as a kid sort of promotes that idea. So I totally see where your objection comes from.
Yeah. But now enough about the downer stuff. What happened in the first Smurf movie? Because I missed that.
Okay, here's my thing about it. One of the reasons why I like the Smurfs and the Magic Flute is because it's not about the Smurfs. Because I don't think the Smurfs are that interesting in general. I think they're great comedic foils, but I don't think they can drive a story in and of itself. I mean, granted, there are like countless albums of the Smurfs driving their own story, but they tend to be much more satirical and with a hint of politics in it, the Smurfs books.
Okay.
And in that way they work. But in a live action movie, in a where you want to appeal to the kids and have action,
So you're saying it like very more political. So that's why Smurfette is brownhead when she's evil, and she becomes blonde when she's nice, because they want to signify that blonde people are nicer than brown.
But actually, in the comic book and in the movie, in the live action movie, they sort of do her origin right, but they sort of like gloss over it at top speed, so it's not clear what it is. But they do keep it true to the comic book. What it is that Gargamel wanted to seduce the Smurfs by creating a Smurfette, which will have them all acting like idiots to impress the girl and then capture them. So he created a Smurfette. But since he's not a Smurf himself, he has no idea what a good-looking Smurf would be. So he comes up with this girl that has branches for hair.
Oh my god.
So, like, it's not that she has black hair. She has branches for hair.
Okay.
And then gives her life. And then through a series of events, she's so sad because everybody hates her and treats her like crap because she's not an attractive woman.
Okay.
So she essentially gets a magic spell to make her attractive and turns into the blonde Smurf, but also the good figure Smurf, the everything, the big flowing hair Smurf. And then all the Smurfs fall to their knees over her. And it's exposed, at least in the comic book, as that being wrong. Like, treating a woman because she's ugly like crap and treating the same woman because she's pretty like she's a goddess is sort of a stupid behavior to have.
I see, okay.
But at the same time, a common behavior.
Yes, you're right.
And so that's what I mean by the Smurfs being a bit more satirical in the books.
Okay.
And working that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But you know, they gloss over that really quickly because they just want to have Smurfette say things that Katy Perry will say because she's the voice of Smurfette.
Yeah, of course.
So that she can say, I smurfed a girl and I liked it. And now for the rest of the movie, what it is you're presented the magical land of the Smurfs.
Yeah.
And then there's a vortex that opens that takes them into modern New York.
Of course. Fish out of water. Those always work.
And Gargamel follows suit, played by Hank Azaria.
Okay.
Who mugs to the camera like crazy. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being serious acting a la Russell Crowe, and 10 being over the top Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
He's 13 right next to Martin Sheen in Twilight.
Oh my god. I guess he knows what kind of movie he's in.
Yeah, no, and actually he keeps it entertaining because of that. I mean, like, to a certain degree it's obnoxious because it's like, it's way too much. But at the same time, it's pretty much the only thing that kept me awake, so I can't really blame him for
okay, that's that. Good.
You know what I mean? So yeah, 5 Smurfs meet Neil Patrick Harris, who has an advertising agency and his life's not going well, and the Smurfs will remind him of the meaning of life while trying to evade Gargamel and get back to the real world.
Okay.
Blech. I mean, like, honestly, I didn't see it in theaters because I was like, I don't want to see this. This looks terrible. I did blah.
Yeah.
And I saw it, and it was like, it was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it was good.
I don't know. Children teaching somebody about the meaning of life, I mean...
Well, they're Smurfs, in fairness.
Yes, but, you know, it's still...
And one of them is 500 years old, you know.
That is true. And he dresses differently from the rest. I don't know why.
And I don't like the Smurf personalities in there. I find that the personality of the Smurfs, they dress them up so that you can tell them apart visually right away, so that you can know which Smurf. It's like, that goes against the concept of Smurfs.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be able to tell them apart until they behave.
Yes, except maybe for Brainy Smurf, because, you know, he has the glasses.
Yeah, he has glasses.
And I'm fine with that.
Which, again, in French, it's the Smurf with glasses.
Okay.
And in English, it's Brainy Smurf. And if you go with the theory that the Smurfs are not named, but actually just refer to themselves with the thing that's the most easy to identify a person with.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be named the Smurf with the glasses, not Brainy Smurf.
Yeah, that's true.
But I digress.
Indeed.
But yeah, you're really like, I would almost like it if their voices were all like very similar, sort of like the chipmunk are all kind of similar. And you really, it's just the dialogue that allows you to tell them apart.
Okay.
But no, they went with their physique is completely different. You can tell them apart just by watching so that you can easily sort of spot who's who. And most of the story is driven by clumsy Smurf.
Of course.
Being disliked by the other Smurfs because he fucks up everything because he's clumsy, finding his own 2 feet and finding that he has worth and value as well. And you're like, I've seen this story a billion times before and I didn't like it the first time around.
Yeah. And I like clumsy people driving a story. I just, you know, it's so easy because you can have them do anything. You know, oh, I'm clumsy. Oh, wait, you know, this ladder dropped and now, you know, 20 houses are on fire because of it. It's like, you can have anything happen when you're clumsy. It's cheap and easy.
I agree. And one of the problems I have with those stories as well is that they're always based on the idea that if you find yourself, you'll gain other people's approval. Where I feel to a certain degree that while it's important to find yourself, it's also important to find yourself for yourself, not to get other people's approval.
Yeah.
So the whole thing where, oh, I found myself, now I get people's approval and I get all what I want, actually is inadvertently teaching the wrong lesson to kids. Because it's teaching them to find an identity to please others as opposed to finding an identity for themselves and please themselves.
That makes sense. So what do you expect for the second one?
Well, here's the thing. Nobody watched the Smurfs in the United States. Domestically, it did very, very poorly. They dumped it in August, and it was like, nobody saw it. But we got a Smurfs 2 just the same, and I was like, there's usually one situation when that would happen, and I can confirm that that's what happened, just in my mind, if I see the trailer and I see bits of Europe in it. And sure enough, Smurfs 2 is set in England. And what that means is that the movie did very well internationally, particularly in England. And so they're doing the second one for that market, not the domestic market.
That's interesting.
And the numbers back me up on that. Internationally, Smurfs actually did very well. Internationally.
Okay. So who cares about the US then? You know?
That's exactly it. They did the same thing with Garfield, where Garfield 2, A Tale of Two Kitties, was set in England as well. It's for some reason, the British love their digital comic book creatures.
I guess that's why they're making it their Tintin as well. Because I'm guessing it did great internationally, but I didn't think it did great in the US, even though it was Spielberg doing it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that, although I think Tintin is a slightly different example. I think Tintin, the first one, was made for the international market with no eye to the American market to begin with.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Well, I guess the Smurfs as well, first, and, you know, just going for the international market as well, you know, who cares about the US? They'll make their money.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. There's no way that movie's not making its money because the first Smurfs was sort of god-awful, and if they still liked it, then that means they just like to see Smurfs on screen.
Are they going to change the voice actors, though, to make them more, like, England-friendly?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think a lot of it is the same. And I think there's a lot of American references in there just the same because now they have evil Smurfs. Gargamel creates evil Smurfs.
Are they green or black, if I remember correctly?
Well, in the French comic book, they're referred as black. Yeah. And obviously, when they translated that for the American market, they were like, we can't have that. So they're purple.
Oh, okay.
So you can buy the comic book in English, and you clearly see a black Smurf, and they'll be like, wow, that's a dark shade of purple. It's like, no, it's not. And just so you know, for the French comic book, it's an illness that turns the Smurfs black and savage when they get bitten on the tail. That turns them into black Smurfs. So it was sort of a precursor to the zombie story, if you will.
Oh my god!
The Smurfs have the first zombie story. There you have it.
So is that what they're going for, the zombie this time?
No, they're doing really bad kid attitude, like good kids versus bad kids, and they're having evil influences.
That might actually be good. And it might actually be interesting then, you know, if they really have the bad kid stereotype, you know, and, you know, I'm perfectly fine with that, you know.
I like it a little bit less. I think one of the big problems I had with the first Smurf movie, live action movie, I should say, is the idea of transporting them to the modern world. I think that's not nearly as interesting as seeing them in their Smurf community doing Smurf thing and sort of imitating a world that the kids can recognize, but in a way that's non-human, so that it feels original and allows you to communicate a little bit of satire and whatnot. I think that's a formula that would have been worth putting on the screen, but they didn't go with that in the first Smurf movie, so there's no reason why they would have with the second one, obviously.
Yeah.
So in terms of a financial producing standpoint, it makes sense that they're doing what they're doing. I think to a certain degree, the idea of using the purple Smurf trope to do the zombie thing in the Smurf land could have been cute as well, just because zombies are so in today.
Yeah. Smurf Wars Z. That would have been awesome.
Yes, exactly! Exactly! Alright then, if you have any questions, comments, you want to share with us your Smurfs of love, your love of Smurfs, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can write us at mail@idiomatic.com or post a comment at idiomatic.com. We're also on Facebook, we're also on Twitter, we're also on Smurf. And we'll see you next time.
So how many portals can open in their village for them to be in England now this time? There's going to be like a portal every movie. It's like, hey, another portal. Let's walk through the end. It was so much fun last time.
The third movie will be like the other Smurfs going like, we really need to get rid of Portal Smurf.
Nice.